Thanks, Chris. Awesome. Hello, everyone. So I majorly failed this afternoon, right? I did not put sun cream on, and I spent the whole afternoon outside, and I feel like my skin, like my shoulders, this is why I'm wearing a cardigan, I feel like my shoulders are radiating heat right now. So that's fun. Anyway, I hope everyone enjoyed the sun and had a lovely time this afternoon. I'm just going to start by reading our passage for this evening. Help my Bible's the right way up. One moment. We are going to be reading Colossians 3, if you want to turn to it, if you've got a Bible. And from verse 1 to, I think it's verse 17, is it? Verse 17 it is. So if you want to read along, that's Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have been stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Awesome passage. So exciting. And that's what we get to talk about. So you may or may have not noticed that the title for the talk this evening is Reality Check. And so I thought I'd share with you a few of my own reality checks that I often have to, things that I often have to come to terms with. When I was younger, growing up, I often had to come to the realization that I wasn't actually living in Middle Earth. And yes, I know it sounds bizarre, crazy, but some of you will already know that I am an avid fan of Lord of the Rings. And I don't share this with everyone, so you must count yourselves among the privileged. But basically, I spent a lot of my youth acting out scenes from Lord of the Rings. And my family and a few members in this room, in fact, not naming any names, but we acted out Lord of the Rings, and we made about an hour-long version of The Fellowship of the Ring. So I think for me, I just... No, that's taking it a step too far. The fact that I've been able to share this with you is a big deal, so... Another time, Chris, another time. But yeah, I think I so longed, part of me so longed to be a part of Middle Earth that, you know, I just wanted to, me and my family wanted to spend a lot of our time acting out these scenes and pretending to be these characters from the film. So yes, my reality check growing up, was often that I was not actually Aragorn. I played Aragorn in the version. heir of Isildur and claimant to the throne of Gondor and Arnor. Reality check right there. funny. So that was my reality check. And perhaps for some of us here, we all probably have our reality checks. Maybe for you, it's that Hogwarts is not really real, Rob Wilson. And that no matter how many times you say Wingardium Leviosa to a pencil, it will not levitate. Or maybe for you, it's that no matter how many times you sing Let It Go, a magic frozen ice castle is not going to just be built in front of your very eyes. So, yes, we all have our reality checks, things that we have to come to terms with. Now, I'm going to suggest something maybe slightly out there, but maybe Christianity is like a bit of like the ultimate reality check. How many of you guys have seen The Matrix in this room? Yeah, okay, quite a few of you. So for those of you who haven't seen The Matrix, it's basically you've got this character called Neo, and he lives in this kind of normal world, and he has this kind of normal job, but there's something in him that feels like there's more to this world than just what meets the eye. And he ends up meeting these people who introduce him to the world of the Matrix. And he gets sucked into this world. And it turns out that the world of the Matrix is actually the real world. And the world that the normal world that Neo is seeing all around him is actually not real. And they're kind of slaves in this world. And what the reality is actually this whole other world. You have to, if you haven't watched the movie, you have to watch it because it's great. And I feel like it's a really cool kind of depiction of this sense that there's this whole other world that we get to be exposed to. And I just feel like as a Christian, you know, we get to be kind of exposed to this reality of this world of a God who is there, who loves us, and who has freed us, and all these amazing things. So I realize that reality checks are often maybe a negative thing, because reality is often supposedly quite a harsh thing, especially when, like myself, you're dreaming that you live in the world of Middle Earth. And you have to actually realize that you live on Earth, on planet Earth, in the 21st century. But our reality that we get to come crashing down to, or whatever, maybe not crashing down to, is just this amazing world of what God has done for us and this reality in our lives. And this is what Paul tells us about here in Colossians, isn't it? That it's just incredible. For you died with Christ and you have been raised with Christ. He shares this in the passage. And I think this is just the most incredible reality check of all time. And I wonder if we really, if I personally maybe really understood that fullness of that reality, I wouldn't want to be maybe someone like Aragorn or Elizabeth Pennant, because actually the reality of who I am and what Christ has done for me is so awesome, and that I can live in that I wouldn't need to be kind of wanting to be this crazy character like Aragorn or whoever else. So let's go into Colossians, into the first few verses here. I'm just going to read them off. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So, I'll explain that in a second, because I've got a couple different translations up there of that first verse. But there are three realities pointed out in these first few verses I just wanted to pick up on. The first, the very first, is that we have been raised with Christ. So that's the first reality. The second is that we are seated in the throne room at the right hand of the Father. And in the, I've got the mirror translation here that we are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Cool translation there. And the third reality is that we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. So our lives are kept safe and protected in the Father as we died to our old life because of Christ. And as I have been preparing these talks, I feel like I've been able to really to begin to get this on a whole level, and it's just kind of really been blowing my mind that this is the reality, and that we get to kind of realize more and more what this means. And this, so we've got here now what we have to do. So Paul is saying since. So I've underlined the consequences of that. So since you have been raised to new life with Christ, therefore what do we have to do? Set your sights on the realities of heaven, or engage yourself with throne room realities, the other translation says. And then in Colossians, in verse 2, it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So these are the things that we have to pay attention to now, these realities. And in verse 2, so we've just got Paul re-emphasizing just the importance of setting our sights on things above and on setting our hearts on these heaven realities, because they may feel unreal to us at the moment, like this craziness that we are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Just that we need to dwell on these realities because let these sink into our hearts so they don't become more real. And it is just the most awesome, beautiful reality check that we get to come to terms with. So I'm going to kind of skip on a bit in the passage, because Paul goes into a bit more detail about, you know, what this looks like, and what more about these kind of heaven realities and who we are because of what Christ has done for us. And I've just kind of put together here some verses from what Paul has said about the old life that we have died to, and then this new self that we have been able to put on. And I've just kind of taken some different translations and of these verses that in Colossians 3 and kind of put them all together. So for our old life, in Colossians 3, you have taken off your old self with its practices. And in another translation, you have put off your old self with its practices, or you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. That old life was a lie, foreign to our design, and those garments of disguise are now thoroughly stripped off us. We are no longer obliged to live under the identity and rule of the robes we wore before. And the new, we stand fully identified in the new creation. You have put on the new self. Christ is all and is in all. Everyone is defined by Christ. He lives in all of us. You are God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved. You are the products of God's love. He restored you to his original thought. You belong to him exclusively. And it is like changing garments. So this is what Paul is wanting to get across, that we must dwell in the new self and not in the old. I think, therefore I am. I don't know who said that. Someone famous said that, didn't they? I think, therefore I am. And I've once heard someone say, if you feel dirty, then you end up living that out. And I work with a few girls. I go with Life and Soul to a school and do some mentoring. And there are a couple girls at the school who are basically just like troublemakers, and they're quite badly behaved. And they've just got this label over themselves and over their lives that they are troublemakers and they're badly behaved. And it's crazy because I see the teachers interacting with them, and the teachers even, you know, treat them as under that label almost. And it's heartbreaking to see, because the girls, when I talk to them, that is how they see themselves. And of course, that is then what they live out. And that is like similar, this idea of I think, therefore I am. And how you think and how you feel about yourself is what you almost are. And I feel like that's really helpful with this passage, as Paul, you know, is saying to us, set your mind on heaven realities, that we need to think and feel as this new self that we have put on, and that we then will live that out. And so just a helpful way of realizing here what Paul is trying to stress just over and over again, to set our minds on the things that are above. So this is who we are. Can I get the next slide? And I've basically also taken just different verses, and this is then what we end up living out as we set our minds and as we know who we are in Christ and what all he has done for us, and that reality that we have died with Christ and we have been raised with Christ. That as we realize that, and as we set our hearts on that and the truth of who we are, that these are the things that we then live out. So Paul's saying, therefore, no longer have anything to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desire. Don't be greedy. Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put on love. Wear love as a uniform. And so as we realize, and as our thinking and our feeling of who we are changes, that then we are able to act out with compassion, that kindness and that humility, gentleness and patience. And this is just, it's just amazing. And I just going to kind of sum up that. So we don't anymore, that our reality check is this: we don't live in a world with a God who is continually annoyed at us because of our sin, who is continually displeased with us and wants us to pay for our guilt in doing good and being good followers. Instead, we get to realize that we live in a world with a God who has already paid the price for us by dying on the cross and being raised to life again. And because he died, and because we died with him and were raised with him, and we are in fact are completely unable to do anything to earn our purity and that holy and blameless state, it has already been done, and we are this new creation. And this is the amazing reality check that we are able to come to. 1 Corinthians, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 12. And it's just after Paul has kind of talked about love, and love is patient, love is kind. And he goes on to say, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And I love this verse because it's just showing us how much more that we can realize that beauty of of who we are, and that beauty of that love that Christ has for us and all that he's done for us, and just that we get to discover more than this. And even now we only see, you know, dimly, and as we see more of his face and how he sees us, and that reality sinks in, it's just amazing, and there's so much more, and it's such a journey of discovery, isn't it? I'm going to read out a little bit from The Last Battle, which is part of the Chronicles of Narnia series. Got to throw in a bit of C.S. Lewis there. So good. And I just love this. I love this description, because it's basically at the end. You might have heard it or read it before, and the characters in the book basically kind of enter into a sort of C.S. Lewis's depiction of heaven, and it's really cool. I love how he describes what this heaven is like. So I've got up on the screen if you want to read along, and this is what C.S. Lewis describes. Perhaps you will get some idea of it if you think like this. You may have been in a room in which there was a window that looked out on a lovely bay of the sea, or a green valley that wound away among the mountains. And in the wall of that room, opposite to the glass, there may have been a looking glass, and the sea in the mirror, or the valley in the mirror, were in one sense just the same as the real ones. Yet at the same time, they were somehow different. Deeper, more wonderful, more like places in a story. In a story you have never heard, but very much want to know. The difference between the old Narnia and the new Narnia was like that. The new one was a deeper country. Every rock and flower and blade of grass looked like it meant more. I can't describe it in any better than that. If you ever get there, you will know what I mean. It was the unicorn who summed up what everyone was feeling. He stamped his right forehoof on the ground and neighed, and then cried, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here." And I guess C.S. Lewis is, he's obviously meaning to describe heaven in this chapter. But I just think it's a really helpful, maybe it's helpful, maybe it's not, to track it away if it's not, but a helpful kind of parallel in showing us just how wonderful and real and deep it is to just discover all that Christ has done for us, and just those heavenly realities, and how wonderful and real that is, and just the depth that is. And I feel like these last few years, I've really been able to awaken and realize just how much God loves me in a way that I maybe in a new level. I guess that is the journey that we all go through, isn't it? Just that journey of discovering God's love. And for me, that's been huge, because I just naturally quite a people pleaser. So I really want to gain the acceptance of others. And for me, being able to understand that fullness of God's love and his heart is moved towards me, and how he feels about me, has just been really amazing in helping me kind of accept myself and be able to be myself and who I am, and that just has been really huge in the last couple of years for me. Another part of my journey that I've really been going through is just this realization that I don't have to like earn my salvation and earn that love. And I really feel like just in this last week, just studying this passage has been so helpful for me. And I think that reality that I have died with Christ and that I've been raised with Christ has just really hit me. And like the significance, I guess, of that, because I think, you know, you hear it, don't you? But just the implications of what that looks like have really really been helping me. And just, I think, you know, I have grown up in a Christian home, and so just got really good at learning how to do the religious thing. And I think I've very much, when I was in my teenage years, got really good at learning how to do kind of all the things that Paul's talking about, like looking good, like looking compassionate, and really focusing on that. And I think I've struggled with the focusing on those heavenly realities, I often end up focusing on the things that I feel like I need to do, rather than living out of a place of what Christ has done for me, and living in that place of who I am, and that that freedom of all that Christ has done for us and dying on the cross. And I think I had this idea, you know, it's like subconscious. It's not something that I almost realized, but that I, you know, I needed to kind of do certain things to be this amazing Christian person, because I really wanted to be this amazing Christian person, because I would see the people like, you know, at New Wine, who were on fire for Jesus and just wanted what they had, but was trying to kind of almost earn that before God. And like this reality that, you know, Paul keeps emphasizing that we need to dwell on, is that like Christ has already done it all, and that that I am pure and blameless, and just realizing that truth is what I get to enjoy, as opposed to trying to strive to become that person that I kind of feel like I want to be, this amazing Christian person. And I was preparing this talk, I kind of was remembering this really helpful picture that I heard in a talk quite a while ago. And it was of this, this guy who, for a gift, he got this nice, flashy, fancy, like, sports car. And he had this car, but he didn't get the keys and get in the car and drive the car. He just ended up wanting to kind of push it around. This is a slightly ridiculous story. Obviously, this would never happen. But this guy just ends up pushing this car around, and it becomes this kind of effort. Like, he's loving the car, but he's kind of becoming this effort of like this really nice car, but he's not realizing that he needs to get in the car and enjoy the ride. He's just pushing the car around. And I don't know if that's helpful, but I remember years ago when I heard that, I just found that so helpful in realizing that we just get to enjoy what Christ has done for us, and rather than pushing. And I think, you know, it can become like this subconscious list of things that we need to do for God, kind of, and that can become quite a burden of learning, of having to push this car, that, say it's our Christian lives, and it can, something that was given as a, you know, this amazing, joyful, cool gift, which we should just be driving around and enjoying, has become something that we kind of have to work, something that we have to work towards. And so I think it's just this, I think for me personally, I'm definitely on this journey of realizing that I keep coming back to the fact that I don't have to strive, and that Christ has done it all. And I think this is really, yeah, and this is just why Paul, I guess, has to keep reminding us in the passage in Colossians 3, that to set our minds on who we are, on those realities of who we are, and from that the way we walk our lives will change, and the all those things that we were talking about, the being clothed in compassion and putting behind us that sin which is hard and it sucks. But I think as we focus on just asking God for that truth of all that we are in Him, and how we stand before Him, and who He sees us as, that our lives change, don't they? So I'm just going to finish by reading a few cool verses that kind of reemphasize, I feel like, what Paul has been saying in Colossians 3. And the first is from Ephesians, and it says, "Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I love this verse in Isaiah, and it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And that's as we discover the truth, it is like this, these streams in the wasteland and in the desert. I've got a verse here from Philippians 4, which you may be familiar with, and it's just what do we focus our minds on? And it says here, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Just setting our minds on what is lovely, what is commendable. And another verse, the last call verse. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." I'll just say that one again because it's so good. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." So we realize that that is who we are. We are light in the Lord. And just one more thing that I once heard, a really great kind of statement that says, "Honor refuses to relate to you according to who you used to be. And honor is celebrating over who someone is, not stumbling over who they are not." And I love that refusing to relate to you according to who you used to be. And I feel like God does that. He refuses to relate to us over that past, that dead, that old life. And he relates to us according to that new man. And I think, and also just that celebrating over who God is celebrating over who we are, and not stumbling over who we are not. He's not caught up in who we are not. And then again, that's just that setting our mind on those, that heaven realities, and God also is, that's how he sees us. We are going to have communion now, and afterwards, we're going to spend some time just doing some ministry, and there's a couple of things that maybe we'll kind of bring up, maybe that came out of the talk that we can pray over. But we're going to start off by having communion, and then I just feel like as we take communion, that idea of setting our minds on those heaven realities and that truth, and just as you take communion, just realizing that truth of all that Christ has done for us. And then we'll kind of have some time of prayer after that. So, Chris, shall I hand back over to you?